If you look in the receiver core, you know, we have DK and then a bunch of other different guys that are getting a chance to kind of make a name for themselves. Roman Wilson, who was hurt a lot last year. Calvin Austin, who's been an ascending player the last few years and done a lot of things in special teams with the returns, but I think he's ready to take a jump and have more responsibility. Scotty Miller, you know, Packer fans have a distaste for going back to an NFC Championship a few years back when he caught a touchdown at the end of the first half. But Scotty, great top-end speed, and I thought he had a really nice camp as well. Ben Skoranek, who can do a lot of different things for us as far as in the run game and the movement. He's a smart player. He's played a lot of different positions going back to his time in L.A. But I like the guys that we got. Excited about seeing how it all comes together. I think.
All right. Good afternoon, everybody. Aaron Rodgers on with Adam Schein on the Mad Dog Sports Radio Sirius XM channel. He does an annual pre-season interview with Schein, and that conversation ran the gamut. We'll get into some of the other stuff from it later in the show, but we'll open with wide receivers because it's like the song that never ends. Wide receiver two, Electric Boogaloo, looking for a wide receiver two, and so on and so on and so on. It never ends. Updates on this story today. Updates from our own people. I like when we can credit our own for things. Sometimes it blows up in our face, like me with the Ayuk story. But, you know, you shoot your shot, you go with the information you have, you do your best.
Sometimes you get stuffed at the goal line. I backed you on that one. Yeah. I give you a hard time about it and like to joke with you about it, but you know that I've publicly actually backed you on it and said if I were in your shoes,
yeah,
I would have reported the exact same thing.
Thank you, Malsy.
I might not have said Ayuk will be in Pittsburgh, which you did put at the end of one of the tweets.
I know. And I also photoshopped him into a Steelers uniform.
Yeah, but everyone does that. I think other than that, your actual sourcing and reporting there was sound.
We are coming up on the one-year anniversary of Ayuk going back to San Francisco, by the way. And they still have not filled this hole. The update today comes from Crowley. Crowley has birdies. Did you know that?
They do. He's got a few from a past life that chirp in his ear every once in a while.
He talked about a birdie today on his show regarding the one big fish that is seemingly still out there potentially, and that is disgruntled Raiders wide receiver Jacoby Myers. Crowley saying this today.
My birdie said they checked in with the Raiders.
Later on in the show, they elaborated on it, and I think Doran even got in on the reporting too, and said that they had learned the Steelers were the team that Adam Schefter talked about on McAfee's show. One team reached out to Vegas. One team said, hey, if we're going to make this deal, we need you, being the Raiders, to eat some of his money. We need you to eat some of the $10.5 million this year.
Mm-hmm.
And Doran and Crowley said it was Omar Khan and the Steelers who made that
request.
Trying
to play let's make a deal.
So, I mean, what's that say? They're trying again, but doesn't it feel a lot like Lucy and Charlie Brown playing football together at this point?
Mm-hmm.
We keep dreaming about these guys, and we keep hearing how the Steelers are trying to get these guys, and then at the last second, someone else trades for the dude, or the guy stays put and gets more money, and the Steelers got used as a pawn in the game, maybe, to get the guy more money, to get a team to fold and come to its senses. I am disenchanted by this whole process. It is, it wears on you.
It's exhausting.
It is.
It is an exhaustive process and an exhausting process.
But I get it. I understand why so much energy gets spent on the Steelers' part to make it happen and why Steelers fans care so much about it. Because it's a passing league and you've got one guy. I know, tight ends out the ass here. And running backs like Jaylen Warren and Kenneth Gainwell who can catch the ball out of the backfield.
Still don't have a wide receiver too, though.
And if the Steelers didn't think it was a big deal, Omar Khan wouldn't be touching base with the Raiders. They wouldn't have tried so hard for Ayuk last year. They wouldn't have given up a King's Ransom, but they wouldn't have given up a lot for DK. and thought about the DK and George Pickens marriage until cooler heads prevailed and they figured out that Pickens was just going to try to blow the whole thing up this year. So something's got to give. I mean, last year the Band-Aid was Mike Williams, and it worked for one game, and then it didn't.
And Mike Williams is what? Completely out of the
league? Out of football. Yeah. He's
done.
I mean, hung
him up.
Aaron Rodgers in that clip did a little bit of Russell Wilson, where if you didn't know better, you'd think their wide receiver room was one of the best in the NFL.
Oh, when he waxed rhapsodic and poetic about Scotty Miller. Man, did he go deep on Scotty Miller.
He did the same thing during the Steelers-Panthers telecast, talking about how he can fly. And he's got it in his head that Miller can be a contributor because he was on the other end of a big Scotty Miller play, and he brings it up every single time
Scotty
he talks
Miller,
about
Scotty Miller's living a pretty nice life off of that one play. I'll even concede that I think about that play a lot. It's essentially no different than Mike Williams catching a third down touchdown pass to beat Washington last year.
The basis of the Steelers wanting the Raiders to eat money when the way you get Jacoby Myers is to give him more money because he's in a contract dispute is something I've spent a little bit of time today thinking about. What is the basis for that? Is it because they want to save some of that money for other moves? They want to use some of that money to pay Hayward and move up money?
How much do they usually keep around during every season for like the moves they might have to make in season?
I'd say 10.
I've heard between like 6, 7, and 10. Okay, so they try to leave wiggle room because they have to have it.
Is it like a baseball move where... or hockey, where you'll see sometimes, we'll eat some of the contract if you make the trade package better.
Right.
You know, so the Raiders
will eat money for a better pick.
The Raiders are asking for more, and the Steelers are like, the only way we would do that
is if you eat some of the money.
Yeah.
If you want, say, let's say he would have gotten, you could have gotten him for what, I don't know, a fourth or a third? Then you bump it up one round from either one of those. If they eat, what's he do, $10.5 million?
They eat five?
They eat five of it.
They get a third round pick instead of a four?
Sure.
But I'd rather pay him all the money and keep the three because of what you're trying to do in next year's draft.
I was just going to say, I don't think the Steelers are really in the business of being the team that wants to surrender 2026 draft picks.
So that's the confounding thing about
the morning show reporting. So now round and round we go.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just exhausting becomes the word again because I think that it's plausible that they are the team calling because Omar has been this aggressive, but I don't see an easy way for them to accomplish what they want to accomplish here. If they really do want to get Jacoby Myers, they're going about it a pretty curious way.
And that would be a move for me as someone that still wonders and thinks about what the Steelers' offense is going to be this year. I would have to look at it and give them a much better shot if they have him in the offense. I know that the Vegas number won't change for Jacoby Myers. I know that their odds to win the Super Bowl won't change much if they get Jacoby Myers. But for me personally, I would think much higher of them if they were able to make this move.
Well, because he's a good football player and he is like a classic, perfect number two wide receiver.
The weakness of the team would instantly turn into a strength. You'd go from having one of the worst wide receiver rooms to having one of the better ones when you're 1-2 punches, Metcalf and Myers. And then the tight end stuff just feels like it's a bonus at that point. It's a cherry on top. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, Myers is a good number two, not just because he's productive, but because I think he does things in a way. I mean, Derek Bell, Operation Shutdown, I like having him on. And he came on yesterday, and he is the head of the Jacoby Myers fan club, but he kind of described him as a guy that does it all as a two wide receiver. He'll play inside. He'll play outside. He's just good at being a wide receiver in the NFL. Is how I would summarize his film breakdown of the guy in one sentence. He is just good at playing wide receiver.
He does the most basic thing. When you throw it to him, he catches it.
Yes. Right. And you can line him up anywhere, and he'll run just about any route, and he'll kind of be what you need him to be depending on what your offense
is. And when he's not that open, he still catches it.
Correct. If you throw it to him and there's a defender roughly as close to the ball, much better chance than not that Jacoby Myers is coming down with it. So, yes, I'm going to give you a big compliment. I think you very elegantly stated how I would feel the same way.
So what's the holdup then? Give them then.
The Raiders don't actually want to deal the
but
guy.
That, well, screw asking for the money and say,
I don't think
the
they
want
to deal him
willing
at all. I don't think they want to deal him at all. I do think that they want him back.
But keep going until you make them think about it. Obviously, you're not going to give up a first-round pick, and a second-round pick would be an overpay because of his age, and you're not going to give up the same thing you gave up to get DK Metcalf, but come on now. If you really want to fancy yourself and not a pretend contender, if you really want to put yourself in the same discussion as the teams in the AFC who we all know are going to be there, you can part with a mid-round pick for this guy. Push the chips in, offer a third, make the Raiders say no. Offer Myers people a raise where he's going to go from $10 million or whatever it is to closer to $20 next year. And let's put the finishing touches on this team. Because if you don't, it's still incomplete. It's like you bought a classic car, you did all the stuff under the hood, you put new tires on, and then, you know, you went to start it and the starter didn't work or something. Like, there's one very key part
well,
of this
talking
team
about this how
that's
they,
not finished.
You're talking about it how they view themselves or how you view them. Because
how
you don't
they
really,
should view themselves.
But you don't view them as a contender, though. So to be very clear, you're doing this
Chris,
on the way that they have tried to construct and talk about themselves.
It's but they're, you like to bring up the word half measures all the time. This is clearly a half measure. They want Jacoby Myers on their terms. They're not naive. They can say, and Aaron Rodgers can go on the radio and say whatever he wants, and Omar Khan can do the same thing in interviews. They can say they love their wide receiver room. They clearly don't. I mean, for God's sake, Marquez Valdez-Scantling reportedly had an offer on the table from the Steelers, and he took another team's offer. So they're absolutely looking around. They're not even window shopping. They've legitimately got some money in their pocket to spend.
And if Gabe Davis was probably healthier, they would have just brought him in.
So come on now. Right? I mean, if this
it's
is...
The old, well, it is weird because if they've had an offer on the table to a guy like MVS, it's like they're willing to go to a certain point. They're hot after this, but then like they get ice cold really quick. If you cross a certain threshold, maybe it suddenly becomes very much too rich for their blood. And Myers is the best of that lot of players that we have talked about, and I don't even know if it's close. I think he's pretty clearly superior to the other players we've mentioned just now.
Well, today, yes. I mean, not better than Terry McLaurin when we talked about him all summer, but yeah, I agree.
You are better than Scary Terry.
You love him, but of the guys who are, there's a lot to like. Of the guys that are left, yes.
Yeah, of MVS, Gabe Davis, and then Jacoby Myers, it's like Myers, large gap, and then however the hell you want to structure the other two. But it's like... It's just weird because if they really want him this badly, if they really are the team, the only team that called the Raiders that Schefter reported on, getting hung up on the details is a little bit like pedantic on their part.
You're dealing with an organization that has a penchant for doing dumb things. Even though Brady's there now and Brandon Hunt, who we talked about, and Spytek's the GM who came over from Tampa. There you go, Charlie. A shout out to you.
Yeah, I'm not so sure. Unless you think Mark Davis is overruling
people. That's what
people
I'm talking about. The man with the bull punt, Johnny Valiant, goes in there, Prince Valiant, and says,
aren't they usually
do
more
it.
No, but aren't they more likely to be the team that overspends on giving somebody a pick to get a player?
Yes.
Like, I feel like this would actually be them doing something
I know, but
smart.
We're talking about the Raiders here. They haven't won a playoff game since Charlie was in middle school. Right? Does that sound right? 2002? Where were you then? Were you even in middle school?
Fourth grade.
You were in fourth grade.
No, third grade.
Third grade.
And his beloved Buccaneers were getting ready to open
fleece
up a can of whoop
these guys.
Ass.
Come on, Omar.
I don't think
Adam
you can.
Thielen went to Minnesota. Tim Patrick went to Jacksonville.
Tim Patrick
TikTok,
would have been interesting.
TikTok.
Tim Patrick would have been very interesting.
412-928-9370. Let's hear if our callers have a take on this. Aaron Rodgers said they've got guys in their wide receiver room who are ready to make a name for themselves. He sounds content. He sounds good to go with these guys. I'm not. I want them to put the full court press on Jacoby Myers. How about you? 412-928-9370. What would you be willing to give up? You worried about those picks for next year's quarterback? 412-928-9370. That is the Edgar Steiner & Associates fan text line, where they say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Matt Clement on the Pirates' decision to dump Andrew Heaney later this hour. But first, a Charlie Borges headline.
I love four of the tight ends. All the veteran guys can all really play, and they have kind of a unique skill set unto themselves. But you're talking about Darnell Washington, who's 6'8", probably a little more weight than he's listed at. You know, he can get down the field and make plays catching the ball. He's got an incredible catch radius. And Pat Freiermuth, everybody knows who Pat is. You know, he's really made himself into a guy who can play the Y tight end, an on-the-ball tight end, or a move tight end. Jonnu Smith, I think, might be a guy that people don't quite understand how great his production has been across his time in the league. Maybe they do. Maybe I'm just thinking that he doesn't get enough attention, but very dynamic player with the ball in his hands. And a guy who I think as much as anybody has had a great camp is Connor Hayward. And Connor's got the fortune or misfortune to be the younger brother of one of, you know, a Steelers icon in camp. But I thought Connor had a fantastic camp.
Aaron Rodgers said, who needs stinking wide receivers when you got all those tight ends? Him and Arthur Smith. Seemingly a birds of a feather on that.
Call him Aaron Wilson. He does sound like he sounds like Art Rooney, and he's doing the Russell Wilson bit here, Pony. He is just straight away.
That is Aaron Rodgers on the Mad Dog Sports Radio channel. Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Discussion here to start the show on the morning show's report that birdies were telling Adam Crowley that the Steelers contacted the Raiders and talked to them about a Jacoby Myers trade. And then they followed up on that and said the Steelers were the team that asked the Raiders to eat some of the money in the deal. They are still kicking the tires and then some on wide receivers. They did place Robert Woods, Max Herleman, and Keyshawn Williams on the practice squad today. 16 moves to the practice squad, including Beanie Bishop. James Pierre ends up on the practice squad. Lou Nichols and Trey Sermon, offensive tackle Dylan Cook. One name missing from the practice squad is Chuck Clark. So you would still think out. Chuck Clark joins the
active roster.
However, I did hear that the Steelers were not in love with the way he finished the preseason in the Carolina game, and they do have a bigger need for a free safety than a strong safety.
What didn't they like about the Carolina game? That they thought he was like going through the motions?
They thought he was basically just
like dogging it, didn't think he did
not making
to be out
tackles,
there.
Out of position at times.
I did see Patrick Queen, I think, in your tweet go flying past a guy like he was trying to miss.
Yes, that was a big-time business decision. So maybe it's not a fait accompli that Pierre and Clark will be on the active roster. They could place Kent, the rookie corner, and yes, Howard on IR, but it's possible that the two pickups they make are external ones, even though they didn't make a waiver claim on any players today either, Chris.
Asa Pole or whoever, the tackle from Kansas City that our guy Operation Shutdown ISO'd in on as a waiver pickup he'd love to see.
Went to the J-E-T-S Jets.
Which means the Steelers had zero chance at him because the Jets picked first in the waiver order. Priority, at least. Donnie's landlord has messaged me during all of this. A thought on you were kind of, and you sucked me into it, getting into the why aren't the Steelers just going all in and get it done here? If you're going to talk about it, be about it. His theory is they don't really need the idea of a second. They don't need a second wide receiver insofar as he doesn't think Arthur Smith's offense prioritizes one, that they would be getting one just as much for insurance on DK Metcalf getting hurt as they would actually fitting into their offense. He thinks they aren't willing to go all in because they think they're fine as is unless Metcalf were to go down, in which case they have like nobody proven.
What kind of offense do you run where you can't find plays and balls for a second receiver?
The only comp here is a Patriots offense where Gronk and Aaron Hernandez were the top two.
And that lasted like 1 year.
Correct. But it was a hell of an offense. So in Arthur Smith's time as a head coach, his best years with Tennessee, A.J. Brown was the dude, but Corey Davis, who was a previous top five pick himself, was a pretty good number two. Like, he put up very good wide receiver two numbers there.
Mike texted into Dulac today and said, will the Steelers have any interest in Hunter Renfrow? And Dulac said, I would with Renfrow. Hunter Renfrow was cut by the Panthers, and I feel like if I had a $20 bill for every time I saw a text or a tweet from a Steelers fan over the last 3 years who wanted Hunter Renfrow, I could retire from this job and live comfortably in an exotic location like St. Kitts or St. Thomas or something like that.
How about St. Nevis or St. Kitts and Nevis?
Because Steelers fans have had a love affair with Hunter Renfrow for years going
back
to
the
way.
What do you think it is?
Well, he cooked Pitt for a number of years.
Cerebral guy.
And the motor is unbelievable. From what I hear.
I'll tell you what, man. He brings the lunch pail with him to the stadium.
And he runs great routes.
That part actually is true. Like, he embarrasses, when he's healthy, he embarrasses pro defenders with the routes he runs.
Here is one of our favorites, Lou in Staten Island. Hello, Lou.
Hey, boys. Good to talk to you, man.
It must be football season because here comes Big Lou.
Hey, it's been a while with you, Chris. How you doing, okay?
I'm good, Lou. What's on your mind today?
All right, if I ask you a quick trivia question, and then I'm going to give you my opinion on Myers, if that's okay.
Go ahead.
The guys yesterday that were calling in, I was getting frustrated listening. I mean, you know, talking about how we're not technically a part of the dreads of the NFL over the last 10 years.
Yes, because I made the mistake of saying the Steelers haven't become the Jets, Browns, or Raiders, and that opened up a can of worms where people wanted to call in and give Mike Tomlin credit for that.
Correct. Well, I'm going to give them a little dose of reality. You ready? I'd look this
up. Sure, sure.
Here we go. And if you guys could tell me what you think these teams all have in common. Miami Dolphins, Jets, Bears, Raiders, Panthers, Cardinals, and then there's one surprise, the Broncos. What do those teams have in common with our beloved Pittsburgh Steelers over the last 10 years?
They're all teams that haven't won a playoff game.
That's it. Yep. You got it. Eight teams in the NFL, and we're amongst those dreads. You mean the Panthers and the Jets and the Raiders and the Bears haven't been considered dreads?
Lou, I've got a question for you. How many of those teams have maintained the exact same head coach throughout that entire span?
Of course you know the answer. None except us. But wait, let me give you my opinion on Jacoby Myers, okay, boys?
Sure.
Okay? It's not what you just said about there when I was on hold about that not having a need for a second wide receiver is, we both know, ridiculous. I don't care who's running the offense. What he would do for us would be to help them not double up Metcalf. You know, if there's nobody on the other side of the field, they're going to put the safety on top the other way, and they're going to basically take Metcalf out of the offense.
Yep, and it's going to be up to Calvin Austin, Roman Wilson, and the tight ends to beat the other team is what they're going to do.
We don't want that. That's not in our favor as far as I'm concerned. So it sounds like you're frustrated, Pony, and so am I. If you're going to go 85% in, go 100% in. Doesn't make any sense.
What's the saying, in for a penny, in for a pound?
Yeah, that's how I see it. Lou, what is your Steelers win-loss prediction in 2025?
If everything goes right, and I mean everything, they'll have 11 wins.
But I want you to...
We want your real prediction.
I want the real prediction, Lou, not the glass all the way full. I want you to realistically tell us what you think is going to happen.
Lou, you're a feet planted firmly on the ground, guys, so we want the real take here, not the, you know...
Sugar-coated
one. We don't want you to look through rose-colored lenses at this.
Absolutely not.
You should know I don't do that. I just was giving you if everything went well. All right, here's a stone cold prediction. You ready?
Yep.
Nothing's going to change. 10-7.
Do they make the playoffs?
Hopefully not.
But do they? Not what you hope will happen. Will they make the playoffs at 10-7? Yes or no?
They'll make the playoffs and lose by 35 in the first round like we do every year.
Got it. Thank you, Lou. I'm going to write that down. Appreciate the call.
Oh, I love it. I love it. So how many make playoffs, lose wild card round do we have here? Intern Jack said that. What did Johnny the Barber say? 7-10. He just said 7-10.
He's the worst yet.
Jeff
and South Park had the same exact one.
Brian Batko, same thing. Nick Faribault, same thing. Lou in Staten Island, same thing.
Yep.
Bostic and Johnny the Barber on opposite ends of the spectrum. The boldest so far in this little game.
Charles Borges, would you like to submit your Steelers record prediction for us, please?
I told somebody this the other day. I have them at 8-9.
Okay. Are they going to make the playoffs?
No.
What do you have your beloved Tampa Bay Buccaneers doing this year?
9-8.
Do they win the NFC South with that record?
Yes.
Do they win a playoff game?
Depends on who they play. I think they'll win one.
Will they keep Todd Bowles?
Probably.
They're my
He just signed an extension.
They're my dark horse NFC championship game appearance.
Wow.
They're
Chris
one of my dark Muller horses.
Putting the Maloikia on them.
You know, I think I thought last year when the playoffs started, of all those other teams, I thought Detroit was obviously going to roll, but I thought if anybody could make a somewhat surprising appearance in the NFC title game, it was them. I'm a big Mayfield fan, and I think they've got enough good players surrounding him. I think they draft pretty well down there. Like, I think it's a pretty well-run organization, by and large.
Here is our number one stoner friend, Johnny and Farrell. Hello, Johnny.
Hey, fellas. You know, I've been saying for about 14 years, I guess it's harder than I thought, is to replace Hines. But last night, Pony posted that Malachi Corley, and I looked up all his call of stats, actually replied to your post with all his stats, and he was a TD and catch machine. He did 225-pound bench 27 times pre-draft.
It sounds like me now.
Well, he put on 10-50. Oh, have you been talking about him, too?
No. Pony's been working out. Yeah, Pony's got like 18 months of personal training down, and people are saying he needs to buy bigger shirts, Johnny, because he's too swole.
Well, 27 times pre-draft, and he put on about 10, 12 pounds of muscle.
Johnny, here's the problem. The guy was doing that and putting up big numbers at Western Kentucky. It ain't exactly the same thing.
Well, Western Michigan.
Well, Central Michigan for Antonio Brown, I think,
or
is what you're going
Central Michigan, yes. Yeah, there
but
you go.
But just putting up numbers is not a guarantee of success. Putting up college numbers does not guarantee pro success.
5'11", 216, he runs a 4'4", 7'37",
intrigued by the player. I'm intrigued by the player, but it doesn't sound like he understands the nuances of route running and playing wide receiver in the NFL.
Johnny, what is your Steelers record prediction for 2025?
13-4.
Do they
win two in conference losses, two out, some combination there?
Do they win a playoff game?
Yeah, they're going to the AFC Championship or beyond for sure.
Who beats them in the AFC Championship?
If they got beat, Kansas City.
All right, then put a bold statement down. Will they win the AFC?
Are you picking them to win the Super Bowl?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. No, they will. They will win the Super Bowl this year.
Okay.
Wow. Who are they beating in the Super Bowl?
Let's say they go to it, and I'm saying that because they're not. It's all predicated on one thing. If they do not have to run the nickel defense, I'm telling you, they will be 12 points and under. 12 points and under,
and they're losing the Super Bowl.
24 points.
Who's going to beat them
in the big game?
There's a number of teams from the NFC who could, but
I think
the Steelers.
Or do they win it all, Johnny?
They win it all.
Okay.
There you go. Our stoner friend says they win the Super Bowl. But then he's going on and on about how badly they need Malachi Corley. Or Super Bowl team that is a Malachi Corley away from winning it all.
Well, maybe he thinks they shouldn't get Corley because if they do, they could cancel the whole NFL season.
Here's Paul in Washington. Hello, Paul.
So how are you, Mr. Filipponi, and how is the all-know, all-everything, bald-headed wonder there?
Bald-headed wonder. Paul, what do you think of Johnny, who isn't stoner, as he points out? What do you think of him picking the Steelers to win the Super Bowl? Do you think he's on super-duper weed, or is he thinking logically?
I tell you what, he needs drug tested, and
he's gonna
feel
fail.
Bad for anybody that gets their hair cut by him, because...
No, that's Johnny the Barber. This is a different guy.
Johnny and Farrell and Johnny the Barber are two different guys. Johnny the Barber said Steelers 7-10.
They're both the same because the other one's with the OHIO, but they're both half crazy because there ain't no way the Steelers are going 13-4. Let's be realistic. Mike Tomlin is still the coach. He would wreck a one-car funeral.
Mm-hmm.
I'm giving you 5-12.
Holy cow.
Mike Tomlin's gone once and for all. It's going to be a train wreck. I told you guys before. The Starkey train is going to prevail. It's going to go sideways real quick.
All right.
And I'll listen to you.
Thank you, Paul.
I have a take off of, or a question to ask off of Paul's take. His bald-headed know-it-all buddy.
Yeah.
Do you think, if I put up the poll question, would you rather see the Steelers
go 10-7 or 5-12?
No, but I'm going to make it a little tougher because if I said 10-7, make the playoffs, lose in the wild card round, everyone would pick 5-12. If I gave you
would
this,
they?
Yes,
I don't
10-7,
would.
Win a playoff game, lose in the divisional, or 5-12, and Tomlin is gone. What were people picking? And that's just 5-12. He said 5-12. Tomlin done.
I think that most people would pick that second one, but I think it's closer when you say
what
playoff
would you pick?
Game.
They win a playoff game at 10-7, so Mike does get him a playoff win with the quarterback, presumably that he handpicked. They get to the divisional round.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they go 5-12, this craters, and he, by hook or crook, is done.
It's closer, but I'd probably still take the latter.
Okay.
Get an offensive mind in here. Get a young coach.
Do we know that they'd actually do that?
No, we don't. That's where but the
owner. That's where the owner comes into play. Of
they don't get
the
offensive coaches, but they get young guys.
Also, is the owner just going to pay for a big time coaching staff and pay to have guys maybe who come through here?
Well,
and
he'll compensate
belt?
The head coach. Look at what he's paying Tomlin.
I know, but I think most of us would say pay your head coach half that much money and use the rest on better coaches.
Follow us on Twitter. Brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them southhillskia.net. Need a spot to park for the Savannah Bananas game this weekend? Try the garage at Nova Place. Nova Place just steps away from PNC Park. Short walk to Acrisure Stadium, located along South Commons. Prepay and reserve your parking at Nova Place Garage on ParkWiz. The best part is easy exit in any direction after your event without getting stuck in traffic near the stadiums. Plus, they offer hassle-free mobile payment to avoid any lines or delays while exiting the garage. Nova Place offers parking for all events on the North Shore, sports events, concerts, and more. All right, Matt Clement with us next on this brewing Andrew Heaney controversy. But first, a Charlie Borges headline. All right, welcome back. We're joined on the hotline by our 93.7 The Fan MLB analyst, Matt Clement, as the Pirates wrap up a series tonight in St. Louis where they are now drawing tumbleweeds for games. Joe Buck tweeted out a picture last night of the crowd right before first pitch, and it looked like there was about 10,000 people there, which is a far cry from...
Pony, I'm told they're the best fans in baseball. How would that be possible?
Yeah, it was the lowest attendance number in the history of that stadium last night. Between the Pirates and Cardinals. Matt Clement with us. Matt, you pitched against St. Louis a ton with the Cubs when you were in the NL Central. Your thoughts on that quickly, that now St. Louis has abandoned its baseball team?
Well, that made me stop for a second because I would have never dreamed that would happen. Obviously, it could have turned into, half as many or whatever the case may be, but like 10,000 people, that's crazy. And obviously, you know, the Pirates aren't a team that's going to draw the fan base to come to watch like this player or that, in that situation. But, at the same time, unless it's like schemes pitching, but that amazes me St. Louis is, they are claimed to be the best fans in baseball. And I never went to that place where it wasn't full house, especially when I was with the Cubs. It was crazy.
Where did they rank among the most infuriating teams to pitch against? Because they do annoy the heck out of me when they're good with their approach and the fact that some random guy who comes up from Memphis 2 days prior ends up hitting like 3 home runs in a game.
Yeah, they were infuriating. It was a big rival. And for me, I was against La Russa, who can be infuriating. Like, he's infuriating. But much respect to him, like what he's done and everything else. And that's actually why when I was trying to make a comeback, I went to him because that was it. I was the kind of guy that I felt like coming off the injury that comes and wins a Cy Young or something crazy. Like that's why they're infuriating to you. Like what you're saying about somebody out of the blue comes and end of his career, he's done. Now all of a sudden he's winning 15 or 20 games. And, very infuriating, but very, very respectful at the same time.
Yeah. You're obviously talking about guys like Chris Carpenter and Matt Morris, who had a penchant to do stuff like that with the Cardinals, Matt, during your heyday. Andrew Heaney, let's get into this for a second because you've got an interesting perspective as a former pitcher. He had a bonus. If he pitched 120 innings, the Pirates are going to give him an extra $50,000. He gets to that threshold Monday night. He gives up 5 runs in the process. He gets DFA'd the next day. Now, there were other future innings bonuses that were attainable if they kept him on the team. He could have made another $50,000 if he just pitched out of the bullpen over the next month of the season. This was a huge hot topic last year when the Pirates got rid of Rowdy Tellez, a few at-bats away from a couple $100,000 bonus. Take me through the mind of a big leaguer in these situations. And is it really a situation too, Matt, where when a team doesn't give a guy a bonus, players around the league take notice of that?
You know, I think the big picture here, let's start with the big picture. He's pitched poorly enough over the last month, but if you look at his numbers, there were some good starts mixed in there before they took him out, put him in the bullpen. You know, he did what a fifth starter does basically, and probably was going through his roughest stretch. So the DFA in general, if we're looking at the big picture, is understandable where the Pirates are at this point in the season. But, you know, they take a veteran guy who's eaten innings for you, and, you know, he has an MLB right now, a 5 ERA as your fifth starter grinding away on a bad team is not a terrible situation. And, you take him and put him in the bullpen. And like, to me, this story is not about last night. You know, he's a one inning away, I think, on August 11th, maybe. He was one inning away from the bonus on August 11th.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when they put him in the bullpen.
Yep.
And, you know, he didn't do well when they brought him in those couple times, the one time in between or whatever it was. So, I don't know. It to me, you know, because of the Tellez situation, A, it makes you stop for a second and look at it, right? And secondly, it almost feels like they said last night, okay, some of the criticism will go away if we do it like this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're giving him his 50 grand, but I mean, if you think about it from the perspective of, he had something at 125 innings, I think, and I think he had another one at 130.
He had one at 130 that would have paid him an extra 100 grand.
And I think a 140 that actually was out there too.
Yep, that's right.
Which the 140 probably, you know, you could make that not work, especially when they have six starters that are throwing pretty well right now and everything else, that situation. But, like, to me, yes, if I'm a veteran guy, you know, now you have a little bit of a history of it. I got a peek at it. Now, is it somebody that's a last guy you're signing before camp that's going to affect? Probably not, but maybe that guy that's in the mid, you know, that range, a little bit better play, you know, a little bit better player in that range you're trying to get to, like, solidify your team. I think as a former player, I was just talking about this with a friend of mine, and I'm like, I'm looking at this from he kept saying, yeah, but he was good. He hadn't pitched well enough. It was time to DFA him. But I was looking at it from, yeah, but I'm a former player, and this is how I'm looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
And so interesting perspectives from everybody, but, you know, enough for you to take a step back and say, wonder why this happened.
Yeah, the Tellez thing, I think, just begets the cynicism about this thing, because if this just happens in a vacuum without the Tellez thing, people could say, well, every hitter looked like Barry Bonds against him for the last 2 months. They would understand it, but when you have a little bit of the history, I think you bring up a very, very good perspective from the player side of it. Speaking of this perspective, you have told us many times about your first memory, your major league debut, the nerves and everything else, and coming out of the bullpen. How did you feel Bubba Chandler acquitted himself in his major league debut?
Well, so you know, in a season that's not went well, and there's been some criticism, like, just electric. It was really awesome. And you know, the last time I was on, we were talking, should he relieve, should he start, whatever the case may be. Let's give the Pirates a little bit of, like, whether this was done intentionally or not. Not that he needs this. He's that kind of talent. But put him against the Rockies, you know, bring him in, and just with the ability, that increased his ability to do what he did, honestly. And the way he was throwing that night, I don't know who was going to hit him, honestly. But at the same time, like, it was a perfect storm, so let's, you know, give the Pirates some credit for how that was scripted up, if it was scripted up, and then give him credit, because it doesn't matter. You're in the big leagues. The Rockies are MLB hitters, and everybody in that league can hit. So for him to go and make them look so bad and not be that electric, it was awesome.
Matt, when you were 19 years old, we looked this up, you were playing single-A ball in Spokane, Washington. I don't know what your memories are of your time up there. There are some Steelers insiders who think...
Pirates insiders.
Pirates. I don't know why I said Steelers. Sorry. Got them on the brain. There are some Pirates insiders who believe Connor Griffin could be on the opening day roster as a teenager next spring. What's your reaction to that?
Well, I got sent down from Spokane after being there 2 weeks, so that's how bad I was at that point. I went back to rookie ball in Arizona. But... It's pretty exciting, you know. If I'm gonna be the negative, unless I see them start with Triola shortstop and bringing him up to save the arbitration years.
Mm-hmm.
But still, if he comes up at the Skeens time the year before, it's still exciting to have a kid that young and in that spot. And really, I think some of the veterans you bring into this clubhouse this winter will help him come up, be successful, and learn the ropes. And that makes these free agent signings this winter even more important for somebody, if you're going to introduce somebody like him to the main position on the field and at that young age. But I was thinking, all of a sudden, you know, it seems like in bad years, all we talk about is bad. But you have Skeens, Jared Jones, Ashcraft, Chandler, Cruz, Griffin, a pretty good bullpen – And then Reynolds and Keller, who, if they're here or not after the winter, should bring in more young talent. You know, maybe we're starting to see what the vision here is, especially with how, you know, good they've been successful with the Griffin and the Jared Jones and Skeens and some of these were, you know, Skeens was kind of can't miss, but still look at Dylan Cruz, who was taking the pick after him. And that was the decision. He hasn't panned out yet.
He's hitting under 200.
Yeah. So like all of a sudden you see this, you know, then it comes down to what I guess the big thing we'll probably talk about all winter is who you're going to bring around this to help fester this into having a chance to compete.
All right, Matt. Great stuff. We'll talk again next week, buddy.
Thanks, Matt.
All right.